Up next, we've all been told as long as we can remember to eat our fruits and our veggies, to pile on the peas, to load up on the lettuce, bring on the berries. Those fruits and veggies would make us healthier, maybe live longer, maybe lower our risk of heart attack. Now there is more evidence to back that up and perhaps actually even to offer a reason why. In a new study, Canadian researchers collected data on the eating habits of thousands of people with a certain kind of gene, a gene that puts them at a higher risk of heart attack. But just how much risk depended on the diet? People in the study who ate what's called a prudent diet, one high in raw vegetables and fruit, those people lowered their risk of heart attack even though they had been and they have that higher risk gene. They lowered their risk. Did something in the diet change the way that gene worked? Joining me now to talk more about it is Sonia Anand. She is professor of medicine and epidemiology at the Michael G. DeGroote School of Medicine, also a researcher at the Population Health Research Institute at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much.
Interesting study.
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about the gene. Having this gene increases your risk of a heart attack.
That's correct. It is called the 9P21 gene, and it was discovered in 2007. And since that time, many, many investigators around the world have replicated this finding. So we really understand this gene quite well. And it appears as though if you have one copy of the bad gene or two copies of the bad gene, you have a significantly increased risk of a heart attack.
And you found that people who were given a healthier diet, even though they had a higher risk with the gene, their risk of a heart attack was lowered.
Well, what we observed, first of all, we wanted to determine if the 9P21 gene was actually a risk factor. We confirmed it. Then we looked at whether or not a prudent diet, which is high in raw vegetables and fruit, protected people against heart disease. And it did. And then we looked at groups of people in combination. So we divided people up by their gene status, divided people up by their dietary status, and we found if you had the bad gene and consumed a bad diet, meaning one low in raw vegetables and fruit, your risk of a heart attack was increased by 30%. If, on the other hand, you had the bad gene but consumed a good diet, high in raw vegetables and fruit, your risk of a heart attack was no different than compared to someone who didn't have the bad gene. So, in fact, it was brought back down to one.
Does that mean that these fruits and veggies have some mechanism to turn the gene off or affect how it's working?
Well, from this broad population observation, we believe that's true, that there's some good properties within the raw fruits and vegetables that actually can silence or turn off the gene. We don't understand how, and I believe that future studies should be focused in this area to understand at the level of the DNA what actually happens when people are consuming high quantities of fruits and vegetables.
Now, could you tell from the study what types of fruits and vegetables were the best at doing this?
Well, we conducted our first study in five ethnic groups, and the main driver of this protective effect of diet appeared to be among people who consumed raw vegetables and fruit. We then went to test our observation in a second study, the Finn risk population from Finland. They measured diet a slightly different way than we did, and we found in that study that any vegetable, raw or cooked, or fruit or fresh or frozen berries seem to have a protective effect. So I think any of those, raw or cooked vegetables, fresh fruit, fresh or frozen berries, are likely protective.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking about this gene study with Sonia Anand. How many people, what percentage of the population has one or two of these genes?
Well, 50% of the population carries one copy of the bad gene. 20-25% carries two copies of the bad gene. So it's actually quite a common gene.
And does it affect equally? I mean, does the risk go down equally? I'm sure there's a higher risk if you have both genes is what I'm driving at.
That's correct. If you have two copies of the bad gene, and you are consuming a kind of bad diet, if you will, your relative risk of a heart attack is about 2 times increased, or 200% increased. If you have only one copy of the bad gene and you're consuming a bad diet, your risk increase is about 60% increased. So certainly two copies of the bad gene is worse than one copy of the bad gene, and any copy of the bad gene is worse than not having it at all.
Is there any way to know if you have one?
Well, that's a great question. The test, the genetic test, is not widely available. Physicians don't use it in their risk prediction. There are some private companies that people can send their saliva or a blood sample to and pay out of pocket to get this testing. But I think, you know, outside the research context, our findings should encourage all people to increase their fruits and vegetables consumption, because we know that high consumption of fruits and vegetables is not only protective against heart disease, it's also protective against things such as stroke and some types of cancer.
Now, in your test, how many fruits and veggies did people eat during the day?
So everybody to be classified as a high consumer had to be consuming fruits and vegetables and or berries daily and multiple servings per day. So at least two, that was the average. But likely if we put our finding together with public health recommendations, likely, you know, achieving or trying to attain at least 5 to 6 servings a day is probably the best advice.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR. Talking with Sonia Anand, talking about a study of genetics and food. So, when you say a serving, what does that mean in practical terms?
A serving typically is equivalent to what the amount of fruit or vegetable you can hold in the palm of your hand.
So if you have a couple of servings of that in the palm of your hand a day, that would be protective, so to speak.
That is, you know, consistent with our study, and certainly we have observed that that amount of fruit and or vegetable consumption can silence this bad gene.
And you're saying you get even better silencing if you eat more of the stuff.
Well, we don't know of an upper limit, so we don't think there's any kind of point whereby you could consume too much, which would have adverse consequences. And other studies have demonstrated that the higher number of servings of fruits and vegetables per day, the better your health. So at least two per day, but likely more is better.
Do you think that this study and the effect on this gene explains why they say people who eat a healthier diet are healthier?
Well, it's one of the first clues between this observation of fruits and vegetables and health and the potential interaction between a good diet and genes. And I think it's important because we often think if something runs in our family, well, it's in our genes, there's nothing we can do to change it. But now we have a hint that perhaps we can silence our genes or change our family history, if you will, by embracing a healthy lifestyle.
Were you able to find out what role exercise might have with the healthier diet? Because, you know, they say to always get exercise, too.
Yes. Well, in our study, we looked at various factors that may alter the expression of this gene, and we really came up big with this signal from diet. We didn't find that there are other interactions, either positive or negative, with other health behaviors. But I will add that whenever you divide the study population many, many times into different subgroups, your results become less reliable because you don't have as many people. So this study does not rule out the fact that exercise may turn off or enhance protective genes, but we definitely can see the observation of the protective effect of diet.
And could you expand this, or are you going to, or where would you go from here?
Well, I think in terms of research or next studies, I see 3 lines of research. One is at the basic science in the lab level, trying to understand how this type of diet may alter gene expression. The second type that we're hoping to do is replicate our observation in many other studies versus heart attack versus stroke. And the more we see this observation be repeated, the more believable it will be. And then the third line of research, which I think is pretty exciting, is trying to understand if individuals' knowledge of their genetic risk can actually alter their health behaviors. Will this information actually cause more people to embrace healthy lifestyles and healthy eating than if they didn't have the genetic information?
All right. Well, we're giving it to them now, aren't we?
We are.
All right. We'll see what happens.
Well, let's see. Let's hope for the best.
Thank you, Dr. Anand, for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Everybody eat those fruits and veggies and berries. Sonia Anand is professor of medicine and epidemiology at the DeGroote School of Medicine, also a researcher at the Population Health Research Institute at McMaster University. That's about all the time we have for today. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help today from NPR librarian Kima Leski. If you missed any part of our program, you want to learn more about those fruits and veggies, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcasts, audio and video. Our video pick of the week is up there this week, and you're going to want to see Eggs in Space. Ooh, what do they do in weightlessness? And you could also get our iPhone and iPad and our Android app and take it with you and take Science Friday along for the road. We're all week. We're tweeting and talking on sciencefriday.com. Have a pleasant weekend. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.